Hello once again. Welcome to Joy News Desk with me, Benjamin Akakbo. Now, topmost on our menu today, the Ghana Police Service says it will put the arrested Stop Galamsey protesters before court to face justice, revealing that it has so far detained 42 demonstrators. Well, we'll also tell you about how a community in Ghana is dealing with a Galamsey. We have an interesting interview with a Catholic priest who's leading the charge in that community. Now, in terms of business news in this package, we'll bring you salient bits on that. You want to stay for details in this all-encapsulating bulletin. We'll be right back. Welcome back on Joy News Desk. In our first story, the Ghana Police Service says it will arraign arrested Stop Galamsey protesters, revealing that it has so far detained 42 of those demonstrators. Now, the arrest followed a scuffle between the protesters and the police during the protest. Attempts by the demonstrators to proceed with day two of their protest at the 37 roundabout were thwarted by the police. Here is a report by Maxwell Agbagba from day two of the three-day protest.
Scores of protesters gathered for day two of the Stop Galamsey demonstration. On the first day, the police stated that they approached with a de-escalation mentality. However, on the second day, it seemed the approach shifted to if persuasion fails, force is applied mentality.
Anybody who pushes, I'll cause his arrest. Anybody who pushes this, I'll cause his arrest.
We're not here to find nobody. We're not here to find nobody.
If anybody thinks he's a man,
anybody who pushes it, that's it.
We're not here to find no one. Talk to them, then.
Listen to the Director of Public Affairs at the Ghana Police Service, ACP Grace Ansa Akrufi.
We served a caution to the organizers of this demonstration that today the police were going to do whatever it took to maintain the peace, ensure security, law and order. We therefore urge them to once again consider the 7 locations that police had proposed to them, and that today we would not allow any impediments within the area of the 37 intersection. We will ensure that there will be free flow of traffic.
We are all involved. We are all
attempts by the protesters to demonstrate on the streets were foiled by the police, resulting in a scuffle and the arrest of some of them.
So Raf is one of the organizers of this protest, a member of Democracy Hub. Wait, just for some clarity, have you been arrested by the police?
We have been arrested because this is an arrest. Actually, you asked the protesters to leave wherever you're asking them to leave. Now we organize them to move away from the road. We were on the side, which is the pavement, and now we've been asked by the authorities to follow the police.
Stop doing Galamsey! Just stop Galamsey for us! We want our mother Ghana back! We want our mother Ghana back, oh! We want it back!
Yo. Police also attempted to tow a vehicle containing the protesters' sound system, water, food, and other basic necessities. They resisted, but the police eventually succeeded in towing the vehicle away.
There's a scuffle now between. So you can see what is happening right now in the background. Oh! You can see that. It's beginning to get chaotic now. Personnel of the Ghana Police Service trying to arrest one of the protesters. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine. Nine police officers trying to drag one of the protesters away. His colleagues will join. Quite a number of them with shields, none on the street. Police still trying to take this demonstrator away. His friends resisting the attempt to take him away. Now he's down on the floor with some of the policemen.
Press conference later, 62-year-old Democracy Hub member Na Adesua called for the release of those arrested.
Demanding, we wish to remind the Ghana Police Service and the government that their duty is to protect the rights and safety of all citizens, not to suppress them. The decision to escalate violence against peaceful demonstrators is not only a violation of our constitutional freedoms, but also an affront to the democratic values upon which our nation was built. Release all arrested protesters. The 15 individuals, including an 8-year-old child, who was unlawfully arrested during the protest, must be released immediately and unconditionally. This continued detention is unacceptable and undermines the of law. I am the grandmother of Rose Safo, the 8-year-old child who was unjustly arrested. Myself and other granddaughter, 10 years old, were released. Why? I asked for social welfare. They couldn't provide.
Individuals who are speaking out against what they are doing, they have tried.
In a statement, Democracy Hub accused police of denying those arrested access to legal representation, refusal to provide information on detainee locations. Democracy Hub is also accusing the police of refusing all attempts to provide arrested protesters with food, water, female hygiene products, and basic toiletries.
Well, those were scenes from that demonstration. Let's speak now to a leader of the Democracy Hub, organizers of the protest. I'm talking about Oliver Mause Baka Vomao. Oliver, good morning. Hello, Oliver.
Hi, can you hear me?
I can hear you now. Thank you for joining the conversation. You were prevented yesterday from getting, into day two of this protest. I, in fact, used that route getting somewhere. There was a lot of vehicular congestion, and I saw a lot of roadblocks and the rest. How do you think the demonstration has fared so far with a lot of your members arrested?
Well, the truth be told, that we have not had a demonstration at all. The protest was intended to be held at the Revolutionary Square, and the police blocked access. They claimed that they had a special operation the night before, coincidentally, and blocked, almost put the entire city on lockdown, including access to critical healthcare facilities in the city. But for us, one of the things we've been consistent on and talking about is that in the conversation about how we protest, there cannot be an us against them approach to the conversation. And I think it's important. All our attempts in initiating dialogue and sustaining dialogue through the process has failed. The police have continued to refuse to engage organizers. We are reverting to them severally. We've engaged senior hierarchy. Their response has been that they are not There's no business. They're not going to dialogue with any of us. So that's a concern. It's a major concern for us as we go into the third day of an attempt to hold this protest. But let us be clear. In choosing where to hold a demonstration, we're very particular in ensuring that where we would be would have no effect on the running of essential services. It seems that the police continue to not want to have that conversation. But for us, we want to say this. The conversation around Galamsey and stopping Galamsey is threatening the future of this country. It is not about us as individuals. It is not about our individual morals or our individual feelings. It is something that must galvanize the entirety of our society. We are here on the third day. Our real wish was that there are several organizations that have issued press statements about the need to take urgent action on Galamsey. They say insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. Our hope was that they all would today mobilize to come and join us in this protest. That they will come with one voice and say that as a matter to build pressure on the government in order to secure critical attention to the environmental crisis we are facing, that they would show up and walk the walk peacefully as Gandhi and others led and allow themselves to be arrested. Because we must demystify this arrest that are used to preserve injustice. Galamsey is an injustice. And the fear of arrest alone should not be a basis why we accept to have our waters poisoned.
Now, the police have said that there's some sort of manhunt for you. I've also heard it, you know, that you are saying you are cooperating with the police. Which is which? Are you in hiding?
I'm not in hiding. I've been having a conversation with the police officers. In fact, yesterday, we went through several police stations trying to find where people have been held. All the way down to Amrehia in search of persons who have been arrested. We have not been able to find them. Our consistent message to the police is that, which of these police stations do you want me to show up in? I am going to show up today. I'm going to go to a police station today and demand that I be arrested, as we are talking about. First,
you're going to demand that you be arrested?
Yes, I'm going to demand that I be arrested today.
Why?
Because I think that, well, the police claim they're looking for me. And I don't want us to, you see, these conversations are deliberately put in the air to whether to foster a feeling of criminality around the exercise of constitutional rights. We cannot allow that narrative to foster. It doesn't serve our democracy. It doesn't serve the attention to the real issue of Galamsey that we want to bring attention to. So I would allow myself to be arrested in the same way that we are calling on other people as well to show up today and get themselves arrested. Because the choice between arrest and Galamsey continuing, I think it must be clear to everyone what it is we must, as citizens in this country, choose. So we would rather get ourselves arrested, and I'll be showing up today to get my arrested today and insist that I be arrested before the day is over.
That's an interesting posturing. Let's talk about those children, though, the Sapong sisters, 8 and 10. It is not clear whether they, too, were arrested or whether they were just taken along because their grandmother was with them. What further details can you give us as far as that is concerned from your end?
It would be a shift in narrative to suggest that they were taken along with a grandmother. In fact, that is not true. We know this even in particular because only one of them was with the grandmother when the kids were picked up. And subsequently, the one with the grandmother was released together with the grandmother. The other 8-year-old, you can see the videos by some of your colleagues who show the little girl, 8-year-old girl, the younger of the two, in the van, police van being moved away. And when they tried questioning why they were arresting a little child, the police closed the levers on them. And they held that child till late evening. So this is not an interest of mistaking who is with who at any particular point in time. That we should not, you know, I think that we look to find within the register of our own language ways in which we can excuse misconduct because we've normalized this kind of oppression and made it seem natural. Now, if the right if the arrest of individuals unlawfully, if individuals have been unlawfully can resist the unlawful arrest, the prevention of the exercise of the democratic right to protest is also subject to the right to resist it as well. Now, we have consistently done that, and you saw that yesterday as well, that when the police were standing by a vehicle that was providing supplies to us, and you showed those images of how the police used their towing truck and drove into where human beings were, and in order to demobilize that vehicle, I put off the engine of the vehicle and threw the key back to the police to stop that action. It has been thrown all over the news that, oh my goodness, the worst thing that could ever happen to this democracy, rather than the attention to the individuals who were put in harm's way by the conduct and misconduct of the police, is the fact that I dare turn off the engine of the police vehicle. These narratives.
But why did you have to do that though? I mean, was it necessary agitation?
This is what I'm saying. I do not think that the defense of lives is unnecessary. And that is what, I mean, we can have a difference of opinion about that, but it's within the context of the law, and that we all have a duty to ensure that we do not get injured, even when the police are acting unlawfully. I think some suggest that we should subject ourselves to harm and let the vehicle be taken, because of course, we are always the ones who must not take action to protect our lives. And none of the conversation, nobody has been aggressive in asking the police. Does it make sense in this modern day to hold protesters across the country and deny them access to legal rights, deny them access to food and water? It doesn't make any sense to me.
Oliver, just a final bit to you. Two quick questions I want you to address very quickly. What do you intend to achieve at the end of all this? It's day three. You say you've not even demonstrated. Day one, some of your members were playing football on the streets. There were blockades and all of that. And how are you going to deal with these acts of purported lawlessness? Because you are blocking the free flow of traffic. I mean, there are a few things that have happened. The skirmishes with the police. How would you deal with that today?
Yeah. First of all, let me take the first one first. When you say acts of lawlessness, it's almost... It's funny that we continue to be contextualized what's happened. The blocking of...
I'm only referring to it as it has been referred to. It is not my opinion. I'm just saying that...
The police block access to Revolutionary Square. We came into 37 to go, and we have been blocked there. Instead of stopping traffic, the vehicles that were coming through the runabout to injure protesters, the police refused to do that and left them at the mercy of that traffic. But the law requires them to protect protesters as well. They didn't do that. And so to ensure protester safety, definitely, we spoke to the police hierarchy on the ground, and they can confirm this, or maybe deny if they want, that it makes sense to divert the cars coming in from Kawukudi towards the runabout in order to ensure that protesters were not injured. Subsequently, they did that. They diverted that traffic. Now, the access was to the Liberation roadside. We didn't stop that. We didn't do that at any point. We've come into a space where we don't want to lose life and limb because we want to gain access to where we have advertised the world to protest. There are no incidents of lawlessness. We will continue to show up and demand attention to the critical issue. Now, that's what we hope to achieve. You know, several CSOs have issued statements on the crisis that we are facing. We think that the conversation should not be an elite-driven approach, that only intellectuals are speaking. The entirety of the society must be mobilized against the poisoning of everyday Ghanaians.
Okay.
That is what we are doing. We are mobilizing citizens to join the conversation. And we'll continue that process throughout the year.
Oliver, thank you so much for your time with us this morning. We appreciate your time. Oliver Barker Vomao, there he is, one of the leaders of the organizers, Democracy Hub. Let us also bring in Dr. Victor Doki. He is a security and conflict analyst at the Kofi Annan International Peacekeeping Training Center. Doc, thank you for joining the conversation. What do you make of these developments in the context of security and dealing with some of the developments that have taken place?
Thank you very much. Good morning to you and all the viewers. Very unfortunate how this has turned out. What we're expecting that protests would be peaceful, and then, you know, providers of security and then protesters should be able to understand the dynamics when it comes to peaceful protests, where providers of security would ensure that safety of protesters are priority as much as their own safety. Now, security-wise, of course, we have a large-scale operation as set by the police with the purpose of what actually I was looking at, what I didn't find any particular purpose as to the main thing they put out there was an operation. But obviously, one can put one and one together and then conclude that it was basically, and then for the purpose of this upcoming protest by these youths. Okay, so now, the closure of roads also, yes, we all know the roads leading to the, you know, the presidency is a no-go area when it comes to protests such as these involving the youths and any other group for that matter. So what discussions went on between the protesters, the leaders of the protesters, and then the police themselves? Information, as of now, is a bit scanty as to what exactly was agreed on. The routes to take, okay, and what are the modalities with regards to the protesters themselves. Now, we don't know much information. We are hearing this and we are hearing that. We expect to hear much more from the police as to what exactly happened and all of that, why they chose to, you know, disallow certain procedures by the protesters at some point in time. This would also enable all of us to now conclude and then make our analysis as well and then know what the way forward is next time. But as it is now, I think the police should try as much as possible if they can to bring the leaders of these protesters to the table and then iron out issues. Because you're talking about the youth bulge, which is all over the continent now. We've seen what happened in Kenya. We saw what happened somewhere in Sudan and elsewhere. Now, you cannot say the youth bulge is not in existence. It is very much. That's what we have to be concerned about. Now, you saw the videos. Evidence shows how many policemen were even able to tackle just one protester. That should tell you that if their numbers were much more, the protesters' numbers were much more, then the police would have a cause of concern, would have a bigger challenge than what they had. So I think for everybody now to have a peaceful mindset with regards to what is going on, I think the police should call these leaders to their table and then iron out issues. Ignoring these leaders would rather anger the youth more, okay? What is happening is in a theory of conflict, the frustration aggression theory. Their needs, okay, their wants are being prevented. And when you prevent anybody from meeting their wants, you would show that they'll be aggressive. And aggressive behavior will lead to violence. So now, what is the way forward? Engage them, okay? And then know what exactly.
Hello, Doc. Dr. Ducky, can you hear me? Well, it appears the connection to Dr.
Yes.
Okay.
To the law.
Mm. Before you
Can you hear me?
Yes, we lost you briefly. Before you take leave of us, I mean, different dynamics to take stock of. The posturing of the police, you've spoken about it, but would you say it was apt? I mean, there's a grandmother complaining about her grandchildren and how they were treated, one even taken along in the bucket of a police vehicle, among others. The way they've related to the demonstrators in this, also pushing that they are going to take the 42 and process them for court. What signal does that send, right or wrong? Those will be your final words. Can you hear me, Dr. Ducky? All right, so it appears, I'll just reiterate, and maybe by that time, if we have Dr. Ducky, then we'll take his final comments, if not. But I was interacting earlier with Oliver Bakavomao, who says he's going to present himself today, that he is not in hiding. He's been pushing for some of his comrades who have been apprehended to be released, and that what is emanating out there is not right information. Dr. Ducky, I can hear you now. If you got my question, please, what is your response to it?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Go ahead.
All right. So you asked a question about the handling of the grandmother and the kids and then the police response in general.
Yes.
Right. So first of all, the police response in general. Well, from watching afar, and then I had the opportunity yesterday to go by the area there, just spend 10 minutes there to, you know, ascertain for myself what exactly was happening. It was rather peaceful, quiet, but with regards to video evidence and all that, you would see, one can actually see that the situation with regards to the police handling the situation was a bit high-handed. Now, there could have been a little bit more engagement with the protesters, their leaders. Okay, when you engage with their leaders, you are sure that the followers would definitely respond to their leaders' demands. Now, again, the issue about the grandmother and the children, I was asking the question, if the police themselves know, okay, that in their protest, or let me put it in the context, a peaceful demonstration or peaceful protest, there are circumstances that children are, you know, engaged or engaging in this activity, which is not wrong. I mean, law states children can't be allowed to engage in a peaceful protest or demonstration or peaceful assembly. Now, I would have expected that these, you know, vulnerable, okay? They're also classified as under the vulnerable. At the woman's age, you take them to safety. But putting a child in a police van sort of like traumatizes the kid. as to what extent, okay, they are willing to offer counseling for the kid to come out with that traumatized situation, we are yet to see. But I think if they have to encounter these issues next time, there should be an appropriate measure for it, not put a kid in the police. I haven't seen the video, but per narratives, that is what happened. And I think there's always an approach to it.
Thank you, Dr. Doki, for sharing your thoughts with us.
Thank you.
Well, moving on, amidst the fight to ward off and end illegal mining, one man is leading a community to show the way. His team is leading a community in Alwin to fight illegal miners and have actually declared his area a no mining zone. Reverend Father Joseph Blake joins us for a conversation on how he's been able to do this and what lessons other communities can learn from his team. Reverend Father Blake, a very good morning to you. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning, sir, and thank you for inviting me.
Tell me, how did it all happen in this community where you are fiercely resisting Galamse making a home in Alwin?
Thank you so much. It all happened way back in 2015 when a group of young men started excavating or digging some part of the land to make prospect. And unfortunately for them, that time they did it in the reserved forest. So I confronted the forest reserve officer and I said, my friend, we are paying you to take care of the forest. Why did you allow this? So he was found wanting, and then that brought an end to that. Then way back, I think about 4 years later, again, and some three companies came back asking for concession. So when that day, they just pasted the notice without informing the people. So I made a dissect. In fact, I was invited by the MCE. And I said, MCE, you know, whenever you are reading bans, the community should be aware of what you are bringing. So that is not lawful. So now let's go back to the people, explain to them. So again, that also halted it. So I met the whole community. My approach is that we don't wait for the dangers to come or the fire to get out of hand before we look for the fire quenches. We have to protect. We have to prevent. Because I have done studies, I've done a lot of researches on how Galamse has devastated other places, especially the Wasa area. I went to Wasa Aguna and I saw what is there. I went to Wasa Bekwai, Wasa Hiawa, Wasa Breman. And then, of course, when we are traveling, we see all the way from Akrupong to Ayamfre, you can see the devastation. So I said, we don't have to wait for this to come. So I convinced the people, I met them anytime that I went home, I will meet the entire people, I will meet the chief and explain the dangers, the risk, and that can come to the community. They will lose their water, they will lose their farmlands, morality will completely degenerate. So that convinced them. And now as I'm talking, the entire people, way back in 2022, we formed what we call the Jema Concord. Jema Concord against Galamse. We wrote as a bylaw. We served all necessary responsible authority from the president to the regional minister to all the court, supreme, the chief justice, and all, even up to the last magistrate in Enchi. And then we served all the security personnel. So that stands as a bylaw protecting Jema. So the people are proud of it.
I'll be coming to that shortly, but there have been attempts, from what we've heard, to compromise the community, the chiefs and others, by way of monetary influence, among others. Tell us about that.
Exactly. So that was unfortunate for that elder. By that time, we have signed the Concord and then have also sent a letter thanking the president for his move, and we promised our support to him. So there was one of the elders who tried to incite the people after having been induced. We don't know how much. So he declared that, well, we made a law, so we are ready to also unmake it. So now go, and then they start mining, but don't come close. So I said, well, this is an inchoate crime. In criminology, this is called inchoate. It's like somebody planning a coup to do something criminal. So we sent him to the police. There at Jema, we do everything very lawfully. So we asked him to be reported to the police. The police took him to the court, and then he was really prosecuted, and eventually, being an elder, we withdrew the case to settle it amicably. So that also sent a warning that nobody is exempted in this Jema Concord.
But indeed, did we not hear that a chief had, there had been some attempt to influence a chief in the
area? Oh, yes, we are talking about our main chief.
Yes,
I am. Yes. So that is the Jema chief himself. So the chief, there have been an attempt, the first attempt, they brought him to 250,000 Ghana cedis. Then secondly, they brought him 350. Then the third time, they brought him 700,000, including a pickup. And the interesting thing is that this is an ailing chief, very unwell. And yet he says, I will not sacrifice my community, the future of my town, for my selfish gain. So up to now, he's standing by his way. For me, he's one of the most people of integrity, a man that we can say this is a man of integrity. He is really a model.
And he was even offered medical treatment in South Africa, was he not?
In South Africa, exactly.
Right.
He was offered medical treatment in South Africa. Mm. He was offered a pickup because now being sick, even when he's going to hospital to Takoradi, they promised, well, we'll have the pickup. He said no. And today, if you still go there, he will say no.
Well, your doctoral studies focused on illegal mining and the ravages of same. And you have also predicted that if we're not careful, we'll start importing water and all of that. And now the Ghana Water Company Limited is also touching on that. How do you feel knowing that what you projected a few years ago is actually coming to play today?
Yes, sadly, but now I'm a witness to that. I'm living in Cape Coast and we are four priests here. Now, we take bath only once a day. Now, we have to go to fetch water from the next community, that is a school, vocational school, where they have dug the borehole. In our place, it's all salty. So every morning, we go to fetch water. I wish it were closed. I would have given you pictures of our barrels and then our gallons that we use to fetch water. So it's here. It's real. We saw the fire coming. We predicted. We made warning. We gave all the necessary recommendations. Nobody took it serious. And here, I am living it. It's not a story that somebody will tell. I am living it. And if you ask anybody in Cape Coast, Elmina, they will tell you how much water they get a day.
Now, let's conclude the conversation talking about this event that you're organizing. Jema, tell us about it before you take leave of us.
Very good. Thank you very much. So still trying to sensitize and try to consolidate the gains that Jema has made. Now, Jema is launching Environmental Stewardship Day. Environmental Stewardship Day. And we are using our case as a case study, as a pilot project, that we have been very good stewards of the environment, of the nature, of the gifts that God gave to us. And we want to the whole world to know that. So we are inviting Joy, we are inviting all the media houses to come and see that what we are saying is real. So this can be even a future celebration, maybe at regional level, district level, or even national, why not? So that there can be Environmental Stewardship Day, where if the government comes in, we can reward local communities that have really taken this serious and are protecting their environment. We need people to come, even the Jema example that we have shown, this chief, people should come to his aid, so that when good is rewarded, other people can replicate it. But when good is not rewarded, at the psalmist say, in vain have I kept my heart pure. So those who have kept their heart pure, I believe that probably might not be the only one, but if there are others, this will encourage them. And if it's rewarded, made public on your studios, shown that there's somebody who has stood very firm. And that really goes to confirm that, yes, our chiefs are so powerful. Because when they say that we're here, they brought a letter and then they went, it's not true. Anybody coming to a traditional Ghanaian land will ask the chiefs and elders to go and pour libation. Because they know that the gold is spiritual. So nobody, even the Chinese, will not enter there without the pouring of libation. So if our chief says no, nobody can enter there. And that is what the Jema chief has done. And the youth are saying, we have work to do. We have work to do. We are cocoa farmers. We are producing food. All we need is good roads. If Jema roads were good, we can supply the whole of Western region with food. And that is even organic food, because there's no mercury, there's no heavy metals in our food. Even the water, now that we have water scarcity, why not? If the road were good, if to Enchi, they can come and fetch water in Jema, they can fetch water to Elubu. So that's all we need. If we are able to supply these needs, the job that we are creating is just a quick, get-rich-quick syndrome,
right,
which is pushing the youth.
Well, thank you very much, Reverend Dr. Joseph Kwame Blay. Joined the conversation there. He, together with his community, resisting illegal miners. In our next story, running mate of the New Patriotic Party's flag bearer, Dr. Matthew Opoku-Prempeh, has called on the National Association of Ghana Students to use their collective voice to push for policies that promote sustainable mining and protect Ghana's natural resources. Addressing the union at its 58th annual Congress in Kumasi, Dr. Prempeh emphasized the need for students to take an enlightening position on illegal mining and hold politicians accountable for their actions. Nanawachi Adam has more in this report.
The National Union of Ghana Students held its 58th Congress at the Kwame Nkrumah University of Science and Technology, where Dr. Matthew Opoku-Prempeh addressed the gathering. In his keynote speech, the former Minister of Education lamented the devastating effects of illegal mining on Ghana's environment, economy, and communities. Stressing on the destruction of water bodies, he called for a more collaborative effort from all stakeholders, including government, civil society, and student unions.
One of the most topical conversations as we head into the 2024 elections, whether you like it or not, the preacher man said it, or one of the speakers said it. It's got them say, nooks, we should hear from nooks. You must have an enlightened position on it. Like I told the men's fellowship, as politicians, no politician will come up with a policy that will let him lose the votes of the people he wants to represent. After all, like my good friend Trump says, he doesn't like martyrs because they are dead. You should succeed in your advocacy. MPP should rebirth itself through Dr. Mahmoud Bawumia to continue those policies that will benefit all. As long as we all have the feeling, as long as the last tree dies, the last man dies. We believe that. If we believe that, and we believe that water is life, I'm not against mining. I'm 100% pro-mining. God gave the gold for us to use it to enhance our value, our life. But the gold, the God put it down there. And God wants us to use the gold to enhance our lives. So then we have to have responsible mining.
According to Dr. Opoku-Prempeh, nooks must call on politicians to sign a pact which will hold them accountable for their actions.
Union leaders have come on board, CSOs have come on board, nooks should not stay. But let us publicly, just like we do a peace agreement here during elections, let all the political parties come up and sign that we all don't want Ghana to stay, so that nobody can go and take advantage anywhere else. So that one person will not come and sign, President, I've signed. Then the person who wants to take the president out of the office goes around the country and says, hey, be bad, be jab, be bad. Of course, he will win the vote.
The 58th Congress of Nooks brought together students from various tertiary institutions across Ghana to discuss pressing national issues and chart a course for the country's development. Chermi Opon Daniel is president of Nooks.
If our education is politicized, if you don't have a proper plan for education, trust me, there will not be any future for us as young people, as we say in a popular assertion that the future belongs to the youth. It will never belong to us if not a clear roadmap when it comes to education. And I want to assure all of you, we continuously sit back, and when we are supposed to contribute our sharp ideas, because always tokenism is too much. We feel the young ones, when you are brought to the table, you have nothing good to offer. Please, young ones, success only comes when preparation meets opportunity. Until you realize you are an eagle, you continue to dine with the chicks on the ground.
Okay.
We are eagle, but we don't know we are eagles. We are still dining on the grounds. Let us prove a point to the world that we are capable, and the young leaders will bring us up. They'll add us to their campaigns. They'll add us to their ministries, and then we'll contribute our ideas in making sure Ghana becomes better.
For Joy News, Nana Bwachi Dankwe Yadom, Kumasi.
Thank you for staying with us. We take a break now for business.